I want to speak to you today on the dangers of carnal security. The dangers of carnal security. I'm glad today for eternal security. Amen. I'm glad today to know that if I died, I'd go to be in the presence of God. I do not know that because of something I have done, but because of what He has done. That is available to me. I have no security of eternity wrapped up in anything I do. For if it's wrapped up there, I have no security. But as we live our Christian life, oftentimes we live in a carnal security. I hope that God can speak to our hearts and lives today. As we look here in the book of Judges, chapter number 18, the book of Judges, chapter number 18, I want to read four different verses. First of all, I want to read verse number 7, and then I want to drop down to verse number 27. The book of Judges, chapter number 18, I want to read verse 7, and then I will drop down to verse 27 and read through verse 29 this morning, and then we will pray. In the book of Judges, chapter number 18 and verse number 7, it says, "Then the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Sidonians and had no business with any man." Now go down to verse 27. And it says, "And they took the things which Micah had made and the priest which he had and came into Laish unto a people that were at quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon. And they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth Rehob. And they built a city and dwelt therein. They called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at the first." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank You. We have the privilege this morning to open this blessed book of God, this Word of God. Well, Lord, we pray today from its pages we might glean everlasting truth. Father, I pray for Your people, those in this room who have put their faith and trust in the grace of Almighty God. May this day be a day of revelation of truth to them. May it be a day that not only is there revelation, but there would be then a doing of the Word. Lord, we pray for those in this room who may not know You as their Savior, that it would be a day of salvation. Lord, we're always anxious for those who know You not to come to know You. And so, God, I pray You might deal with those hearts. I pray the same for those who are in our junior churches this morning, that You might work and bless and give those leaders wisdom and direction working with the youth. And Lord, we just commend this in Your hands, asking You to make Yourself very real in the hearts and lives of Your people. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have Bible background, you remember that the Israelites had been embedded by God into the land of Egypt. As they were in Egypt, so-called, somewhat what we might call in the womb, they were then born from there, may I say, by the blood of the lambs, as they sacrificed those and on that Passover, and all of those who were in the Egyptian homes, the firstborn died. Pharaoh finally let his people go. They go out across the Red Sea, and of course you remember the story there, and they get into the wilderness, and God gives them the Ten Commandments. We find they go up to Kadesh Barnea. You know the story. They sent the spies in. The spies came back with a good report, but at the same time said that they are giants in the land. The people are frightened, and they say, "We're not going to go into there." And we find that God says, okay. And for the next 40 years, actually 38, if you're counting correctly, 38 and 2, we find that all the men who were 20 years of age and upward, other than Caleb and Joshua, die in the wilderness. At the end of that 40 years, they go into the promised land, and we find in the book of Joshua that they take that land. And we find that the tribes begin to spread out. However, not all of them had taken all of their properties. And we come to the book of Judges. And in this book, we find that sin had come to the Israelite nation and different tribes had wandered off a little bit and so forth. And God raised up judges to bring them back together and so forth. But here towards the end of this book, we find this tribe of Dan. They have discovered that the property they have, that which they have already settled in, is really not enough. They confer together and they decide that they need to do something about it and go a little bit farther. And we find that they send a group of spies into this area of Laish. And as they come to this place of Laish, they come back with their report, and we find that report in verse number 7, where it says that they had seen the people therein, how they dwelt carelessly, after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure, and no magistrate in the land. And we find that they decided, hey, listen, we can go and take this land. And thus they do. And so in the next several verses, if you were to read those, you will find that they send their armies in, and they capture this land. Now, whether you have an idea that that is condoned by God or condemned by God, that is not the point this morning. What I'd like for us to look at today is to look at these people of Laish. Because these people in Laish really give to you and I a picture of God's people and of lost people. And that is that there is a danger in carnal security. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God has given us these stories that you and I might receive admonition. In other words, we can draw truth from them that will be helpful for our soul. And thus we read the Old Testament, we read the stories, and from those stories we can begin to understand how God wants to operate in our life. For instance, we find the story of David, and what did he do? He went to see his brothers under his father's instruction. He brings to them bread and cheeses, and he sees Goliath. And all the armies of Israel standing there, I mean, they're shaking in their boots. And David says, is there not a cause? David picks up his sling and 5 stones. He goes out and meets the giant. He hurls that about him, and the giant is down dead. I mean, he falls down. David runs up, grabs his sword, cuts his head off, and there's a great victory won. What can we learn from that? If we will believe God, even though we're small, whether it be in stature, even in faith, if we'll just believe Him, God will allow us to do great feats. Because God is the one who is whom we can depend upon in the time of trouble. So here we look at these people in Laish. And here's a people now that I believe are depending upon what I've described to you as carnal security. Say, what do you mean by that, preacher? They are dependent upon, they are secure in that which is round about them. Not like David, who puts his trust in the Lord. They are putting their trust in that which God has allowed them to have. And so often in our lives, we are putting more trust, I believe, into carnal things than we are into the Lord Himself. May I say to you this morning, first of all, carnal security, Christians often fall into. Let me describe just a few thoughts with this. As we look, first of all, in verse number 7, what's it say? They dwelt how? Careless. They dwelt carelessly. after the manner of the Sidonians. They dwelt carelessly, quiet and secure, it says here. They're in a position of what I would describe as self-confident. Now we look and we say, well, people need to have self-confidence. May I say to you this morning, I'm not so sure we need self-confidence, but we need God-confidence. We need to learn how to have confidence in Him. But here be the problem often with God's people. We get saved. We have some battles in our lives. We go through some things. We have some areas that need to be fixed in our lives, and we allow God to fix those things. And we live a little longer and we see some more victories and we have God working in our lives. And pretty soon, we begin to think, hey, I can do this, I can do it, I can do it. And our dependence is no longer upon God who allowed us to do it and helped us do it, but we begin to think it's ourselves. It's an area that we can fall into very easily, especially as we mature in our lives. And though we might not be Pharisees, oftentimes we become like the Pharisee who looked over at the publican and said, thank you, God, that I'm not like he is. Our problem is sometimes we get too secure in ourselves, confident in ourselves, and how we need to stop and look, who am I really dependent upon? Not only were they a people who had self-confidence, but notice something else in verse number 5. It says, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. They had nobody that was over them to bring rule to their lives. They had, if you put it in our terms, a sleepy conscience. They had come to the place in their life, and we often come to that place, where sin no longer has its twinge upon our soul. The pangs of conviction no longer can get us. We sit in church and we hear the message preached, and we think that belongs to somebody else, and we do not want to apply it to ourselves. If you're sitting here today thinking, boy, this is what somebody else needs, I'm talking to you. Because we need to stop and look at how is God wanting to speak to me. And we become very, very sleepy in that conscience because we think we have arrived. We look at many round about us and we do not any longer think, there go I, but by the grace of God. But we think, oh, that poor fellow. When indeed that very well could be and perhaps even is us, and we recognize it not. But notice something else that we find here. In the last part of verse number 7, notice what it says, they had no business with any man. You and I, when we get into this place of carnal security, whereby we're depending upon ourselves rather than God, we find ourselves in a spot where we don't any longer really care for the souls of other men. Two times we find, as we read the Scripture this morning, where they are what? They are having no business with other men. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference to them as to what others are doing. It doesn't really make a difference to them if somebody's going to heaven or hell. Oh, they may give a few dollars to missions, but they're not really interested. The prayer letters come, they don't read them, they don't really care about that missionary, they don't really take time to pray for him, they don't take moments when he's here to talk to him and encourage him. It's just there, and it's something somebody else does, and it's not really a part of their heartbeat any longer. They might talk about rescue missions, they might talk about the Sunday school, but they have no real design part in them. It's just not really their thing any longer. They're not really caring about other folks. Listen, do you realize today that people are dying and going to hell? And if we don't reach them, who will? They need Christ, amen? They need Him desperately. I mean, listen, you ought to have been with a chorus of, amen! They need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And too often we get in this spot where it's no business with other men. There are many professing Christians who live as though they are beyond the gunshots of the enemy. They feel really quite safe and secure. They don't believe any longer that really the devil can do anything in their life. They're like the rich man. He says, "Soul, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry." And all the while, they are in tremendous, imminent danger, falling to the very worst forms of sin ever. How we need to stop and look. Who am I really depending upon today? Here's a group of folks. What were they depending upon? They were in a valley. It seemed to be protected. They weren't worried about anything. They were not taking precautions. And what happens? The Danites come in and destroy them. And it's a picture oftentimes of you and I as God's people. But not only is carnal security a danger for Christians, but it is also for the unsaved. So many of the unsaved, so many lost folks live carelessly. They're like the animal. I think I mentioned this here a while back. Do you know the television could come on and say that the missiles have been shot from North Korea? They have developed these even better, and one is headed to Omaha. They want to take out Stratcom over here. And it's on its way, and it is loaded with an atomic bomb. It'll be here in about 40 minutes. You and I, we would be scared, amen? We would perhaps think, listen, if I get in my car and drive fast enough, maybe I can get away from it. And so we might take to the highways. But I'll guarantee you something. If that television comes on, and I mean the things are going beep, 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 beep all over the thing. I mean we're hearing things outside and everything. If my dog has just got done eating, she don't care. She does not care. Now if you get up in the morning and everything's calm and everything's wonderful. And I mean, I just had a great morning. I had a great night's sleep. And I walk into the kitchen, and I walk by her food bowl, and I do not put something in that food bowl. Let me tell you, that dog is looking at me and wondering, what is wrong with him? And we have a hardwood floor in the kitchen, and I know what she's doing. She's going back and forth, and she puts her toenails down. And going, clack, 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 clack. Wanting me to know, hey, there's no food in my bowl. And she'll walk over to her bowl and look in it and look up at me and walk around a little bit, look in her bowl and look up at me. That's all she's interested in. That is the way so many lost people live their life. It is for right now. What is going to happen in the future is no concern. It is scary in our day and age. The average young person today doesn't really care about tomorrow. They're only worried about being happy right now. The payday tomorrow, well, I'll face that when it comes, if it comes. But it's the attitude of our world today. And it's because of that, you and I also have a hard time reaching them. Why? They're like the common animal that only cares if there's grass in front of him. They have no thoughts about eternity, but only right now. They live in this carnal security. I'm okay right now. So I ain't going to worry about the future. There are some, they don't have any trials. They're very content with the moment. They don't have any problems, so why get all upset about eternity? They're like sheep being led to the slaughter. I mean, think about it. I pick on you guys a lot, but you sat here and it's really helpful. Don't ever move. Okay? But now I want you to move. Would you guys stand up? Yeah, all of you. Yeah, come on, come on. Just stand up. Put your Bible down. Yeah, there you go. I'm sheep number one. There's the executioner, the guy with the rainbow tie. And so, you know, they're leading me. And I go up here, and he goes, bap! I fall down. You're a sheep. What do you do? Now, he falls down. She's a sheep. What happens? You're liking this job, aren't you?
Getting good at it.
Now, what should you be really thinking? You just graduated with a degree, and your mom and dad are back there wondering, does she know?
I should probably turn around and go the other way. But I'm a sheep, and I'm not very smart.
But if we were what? Paying attention, rather than being careless, we would see what's taking place. Thanks for kind of following me around like sheep. Homely illustration, but you get the point. We are a people and folks in the world, what? They see it happening, but they don't care. And they follow right on afterwards. A funeral procession goes by. And maybe they stop for a few moments in appreciation to those people. But it does not really make an impression that one day they're going to be the object of that procession. Don't really stop and consider what is going to take place. They're very secure as to their future. And they have no restraints. As we found there was no magistrate in the land. There's nothing that really stops them. They don't care. Listen, anything goes. And thus we have gay marriages today. By the way, that's not very gay. It's a term that's been taken and misused. We have abortion on demand today. We have all sorts of problems in our land. Why? There's no magistrate in the land. Then we're free from constraints. But I look at something here, and it says they had no business with any man. They don't want to be bothered. How many of you Christians, on one occasion or another, you've said to somebody, let me tell you about Jesus, and they do not want to be bothered? Well, some other time, preacher. I'm right in the middle of something. Honest to goodness. I've told you this. I visited a man one day before he died. He was dying. He ought to have known it. They had told him. I told him. He says, later. Later never came. What's our problem? We just don't want to be bothered. Notice verse 10 of our Scripture. It says, when you go, you shall come into a people secure, into a large land, for God hath given it into your hands, a place where there's no want of anything that is in the earth. Here's a problem. There was no want. They had no needs. They didn't see the neediness of their lives. How many remember 9/11/2001? Do you remember after 9/11, there was a lot of beseeching people to pray? Why is it now that they want to try to stop people from praying? Why is it now we ought to leave our religion at home? It's fine to have it there, but don't take it into the public areas of discourse. Because we've come to a spot we do not recognize that we have any need. Not want of anything. The hardest thing that you and I will ever do in trying to reach others for Jesus Christ is to get them to realize they need Him. They need Him. That they are lost, they're undone, they have sin upon their life. Oh, there's tremendous evils of this condition of carnal security. One of those is, warnings are not ever heeded. mercy and grace is lost upon these kind of people. It is meaningless to them. And the heart grows harder and harder, as it did with Pharaoh. Great danger when we begin to depend upon the things of this world. Because write it down, the Danites will come. Hell will be their own doing, their own folly. And did you notice in verse number 28 what took place when they came upon them? There was no deliverer. There was nobody to get them out of the situation. Why? They were dwelling securely in themselves. Christian, oftentimes we dwell in self-confidence. We dwell without confidence really in God, but in our own abilities. We go through life not looking to the Lord really, but looking to our own strength. And we need Him. But those who are lost, they just want to depend upon those things and realize not their need. If you're one of those this morning, I hope you recognize that without Jesus Christ, you're doomed to hell for eternity. There is nothing you can do to save your hell-deserving soul. Your sin is so bad, it is so repugnant, that God will not allow your presence into heaven until He can make you righteous. That only happens when you receive His righteousness by receiving Christ. Father, today, work in our hearts. I pray, oh God, that we as Christians might really stop and inventory our lives for God confidence or self-confidence. To look and see if our security be based in our IRAs or in the Lord. If our security is in our jobs or it's in the great provider, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, I pray for those in this room without Christ. They might see that there's a need in their life. Great need. Overwhelming need. Oh God, work upon us today. Do your work. Let not there be excuses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.